Hello again. My name is Darcy, and I have the privilege of moderating for the service today. This is the time in our service that's really kind of special and sacred family time. We get to share testimonies of what God has been doing. We get to share prayer requests and needs that we may have. Anyone is welcome to come up. I'd ask that you state your name first. Even if you know I know you, go ahead and say it. Even if you're Grace, just go ahead and tell me again. I'll be taking some notes, and we'll be praying for all of these requests at the end of our testimony time. As you prepare your hearts and minds to think of something that you might want to share with the body, I wanted to update from what we shared last week. Last week, we shared how we were going to go to Tokyo to go to an adoption workshop to see about pursuing our second adoption in Japan. And it was exciting, friends, because it snowed in Tokyo on Monday, and we were heading to Tokyo Monday evening. So we got to the airport, and right at the time they were going to start check-ins, they did decide at that point to cancel the flight, but they didn't cancel it earlier. They canceled it right then. And so we get on the bus, and we're like texting our friends to help us, and we're all doing this research. When's the last Shinkansen? Because it was at that point like 7 p.m. or something. So we made it to the last Shinkansen. Like, we ran through the station and got on the train. We got to the platform, and it was running a few minutes late because of the snow. So we could catch our breath before getting on the train. And then we're talking with the workshop coordinators, and they're like deciding if they're even going to cancel it after all anyway because of the snow. But they didn't cancel it, thank the Lord. We got to Tokyo, and the concern was going to be were all the subways going to be closed because some of the subway lines were closed because of the snow. But we got probably the last trains that we needed to get to our Airbnb about 1:37 in the morning on Tuesday. And the workshop was Tuesday starting at 10, and we just had like a 25-minute walk to get there. So even that alone would be like, if the Lord does match us with a second child, like, what an exciting first chapter. This is what happened in our pursuit of you. But the workshop itself, the organization is, the adoption organization is Bear Hope, and it's a Christian organization. And the workshop that we'd have adopted before with Bear Hope, so there wasn't a lot that was like totally like we've never heard that before, but it was so good to be there at the workshop, even though like it wasn't new. What was really special was the staff at Bear Hope are really ministering to the couples that come to this workshop. They're not all Christians, of course, who come. Japanese and internationals are coming to their workshops, and they're asking questions or requiring like a marriage kind of questionnaire that you have to fill out independently with your partner before you come to the workshop. So for a lot of these couples, like, it may be one of the first times they've really looked at their marriages and talked about them in this kind of a way. Like, it was really kind of astonishing to realize that. Like, they're bringing a blessing of just people coming to the workshop, bringing blessings into marriages, like bringing conversation to marriages, making time to talk about ways of growing your marriage within the workshop. So it was really kind of exciting. It was exciting to see the Bear Hope staff again. It was exciting to meet a couple that used to live in Hiroshima that now lives in Tokyo, and they know our friends. You know, it was interesting to meet some missionaries from Nagoya that we didn't know but are now on a team with some dear friends of ours. So it was really cool to feel like the body, like, tightly knit and the heart of adoption in Japan. Please continue to pray for us in this journey. That was really encouraging to talk to the staff and to hear them say, like, we're excited to help you with your number two. Like, the laws are going to be changing in Japan in April, but if you start your process with us before then, which we did, the laws won't affect you, so this will be good because it'll be harder for foreigners. So all these things that just felt like such encouragements for the Lord. So thank you. I feel like the prayers here probably got us actually to Tokyo in the first place through the snow and like brainstorming and coming up with solutions. Like, just really grateful for this family praying for us. So thank you. Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come up and share, please come up, state your name, and please share what the Lord has for you to share today. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michelle. So last time I shared to you about my first attempt for the comprehensive exam, and as expected, I failed. Yeah, as expected, of course. I'm going to have my second attempt on March 10th. So hopefully I will pass. I really wanted to pass this time so that I can proceed for the last semester. I'm asking God for this favor. This is my second and last attempt. Yeah, because the university is allowing only two comprehensive exams. So at least now I have an idea on what to do. So I don't have to fill all the paper down the spaces. I just have to jot down whatever is needed. So please pray for me. March 10th is my scheduled exam. That is a Saturday. So I'm hoping to leave maybe in the evening of March 9th. So on March 1st, my son's graduation is coming. So please pray for him also. And one thing, this is a small thing, but it's really very interesting for me also. Before I shared to you that everything that I have broke. The microwave broke, the computer broke, and everything that I really need every day. So for how many weeks I haven't been helped with the bulletin because I don't have the computer. So I am really very sorry. But this time I looked, because I cannot manipulate Japanese OS. It's really very, very difficult for me. So I attempted to buy a Mac. Very ambitious. So when I went there, so the sales lady said, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay." And then I said, can I use my credit card? I said, "Yeah, sure." So when I gave my credit card, I said, "Oh, your credit limit is just this. So you need to call the company so that you can increase your credit limit." So I said, "I don't want to have an increase of credit limit. So because I need to really stick to that limit because I might overspend." So I said, "Okay, I'll just not buy that one." So I waited and waited until last yesterday or the other day. I went to Amazon online. I looked for an English OS. And I don't know, it's a secondhand computer. I hope it's okay. I hope it's okay, but I found it very, very cheap. And I'm hoping to get it maybe next week. So thank you very much for praying. And now if I get that computer and it's an English OS, maybe I can help again with the bulletin. So thank you for praying for me, even in that very small thing. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace. And I want to read one scripture that I read this morning, and it was really encouraging me. Maybe you know it already, but good to always go through scriptures, even we already know. Psalms 139, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 139, verse 1 and 2. I usually use the New King James Version. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." I was just so amazed. Some of these scriptures, we already know them, but when sometimes you just take time to think about what it really means, it's so touching, you know. God knows us so much. He understands everything. And he knows even those times we are trying to run away from him. He truly knows us and he cares us. And sometimes he will connect us to the right people when we are going through situations that are really difficult or tough for us. Last Sunday, I would like to share something that happened this week. And it really left me thinking about how God connects us to people. Last Sunday, I was here during the service, and one of my old classmates contacted me. We haven't been in touch because after campus we separated. That's more than 10 years ago. After we graduated, that's from my university back home in my country, and we left each other. We have a classmates WhatsApp group where we talk about things, but we don't contact individual classmates directly. So he sent me a message and he just said, hi, Grace, I have a friend who needs your help. Can I connect you to her? And of course I said, please do. And I just reminded him it was church time here in Japan, so I told him we can do it later. And I didn't know, but he mentioned that the friend is suicidal. She's thinking about committing suicide, and so he needed someone to talk to her. And I didn't understand how he thought I would be the right person, because we haven't been communicating with him. So he doesn't know my life like for 10, 12, 10, 11 years now. So why will somebody you graduated with 10 years ago ask to connect you? Of course, he knew during campus I used to be during my campus, usually we have a class Bible studies. So in our class, he knew that I was leading the Bible study in our class, but he doesn't know what happened with my life. But anyway, he told me that, and I knew it was the Spirit of God directing him to do that, because he has so many people, especially back home in my country where he's interacting with, and they could help. And being also a Christian, he knew maybe even his church, somebody could help. But God used him to contact me. So I just prayed over it. I've never talked to anybody who is... at first, I thought maybe I connect that lady to Darcy or somebody else. But then I said, okay, because I'm also scared, you know. Somebody is suicidal. What do you tell them? Because anything you say, you have to be very careful because, yeah... So I just prayed over it and waited until it was night time. So I told them, now it's okay, we can chat. And it's a lady, and she gave me her story. It's a very sad story. I couldn't believe people can do this. There are a lot of crimes in Africa, and sometimes people, even your own friends, can do something that is really, really sad. This girl, she had a boyfriend, and they broke up because he went abroad, and he didn't communicate with her for 2 years. So she assumed all things are finished. And so she got another man. And then the man came back from abroad. And then he looked for her. And then she told her, sorry, I cannot date you. I'm already with another man. But he insisted, you are mine, and I've still come back for you. So she was already committed in another relationship. But this man insisted that I was the first one to find you, and so I will not let you date another man. And he was, kind of doing it by force, because he comes to her house and stays there. So what this lady did, it wasn't very wise, but I understand because she isn't born again. Okay, I prayed for her last Sunday and she got born again, but she wasn't born again. So what she did, she said, I will use another man to let this man move out of my life. And unfortunately, the man she's using is not even the one she's dating. So she said, I didn't want my boyfriend to get involved in this because he knew about it and I wanted to handle it myself. So she talks to another guy. Let's agree with you. Let's go. You pretend that you are the man dating me and tell this guy in the face, I don't want you. I'm already with this man. So she planned. She goes to a restaurant and she calls the guy who has come back from abroad. And he comes and she calls the other guy and they meet the three of them. And so they begin to talk. And it's very sad what happened, because I asked her how much she trusted this guy whom she used as a friend to help her. And she said, we know each other, and I trusted him. That's why I used him. But finally, I realized there was no trust, you know. Because what happened is this lady received a phone call. They were having a drink. The guy she called to help her, rescue her from this other relationship, is the one who ordered the drink. So they were in the middle of the drink, and she receives a phone call, and she goes to take the phone call. And somehow they put something in her drink. Who did, she doesn't know until today, but either both of these guys talked something and agreed to do it, or she doesn't know. So after she took the drink, she doesn't know what happened. She just woke up the next day in a hotel room alone. There is nobody, and she's been raped, you know. She doesn't know who did it because there is nobody. She tried to, of course it's a police case, but she didn't know how to follow it, so she didn't do anything about it. And she tries to ask the staff in the restaurant where they were, what did these guys do? They just told her, we don't know. They just paid for a hotel room and they disappeared, you know. So this is really something bad, because she's already dating another man who is not none of these two people. So it's something so And now she didn't even know how to approach him and tell him what's happening because he trusted her, but still she moved on. So what she did, if I were the one, I would tell the police because this is truly a police case and she knows the two guys, but somehow she just thought, okay, since I don't know what they did and nobody's trying to help me, she tries to call them. One of them answered and said, me, I don't know what happened to you because, yeah. And that's how her life now began crumbling because her real boyfriend, when he heard the story, he wouldn't buy anything. He just told her, it's over. And, you know, she's confused, you know. And so immediately she didn't know anything. She says, I didn't feel anything in my body. So she came to realize after 1 month that she's actually expecting a baby. That's when she realized something must have happened to me at that time. And so that's when she tries to convince her boyfriend, you know, I didn't do anything. And he doesn't want to listen. You know, such a story is very difficult to convince somebody. Yeah. So probably the boyfriend left her and she's there. She's just thinking the next thing to do is just to commit suicide because where do I turn to? So I listen to all her story and I just pray, God, give me strength to tell her the right words because, you know, I ask her, do you go to church? I used to go, but I don't go. Yeah. So I was able to pray for her and to help her with what I could. It is something very sad, but God has a way of connecting us because I know moments like that when God has connected me to somebody else. And I know he will also one day connect you to somebody. It might not be such a terrible situation, but God connects us to people because I was able to connect her so well on Sunday night as if we knew each other before. And I talked to her, I gave her my own story of things that have happened in my life, and I told her God has a purpose why he connected us. And after talking, the most joyful thing is that she accepted Jesus Christ as Lord the same day. And I was so grateful because the Bible tells me all things work for our good. So, of course, the first thing I asked her is, I'm sorry, because in my country, you know, HIV rate is high. So I asked her, did you test for HIV? Because that's the first thing you should, apart from pregnancy, you should check that you're negative. And she told me I did test immediately and I've tested again and it's negative. I told her, if you're alive and you're well, let's go on. We will take care of that baby by God's help and God is going to help. But most importantly, I also found another group. It's called Crisis Pregnancy. I found it. It's in Kenya and I was able to contact the director and she accepted to help her because such a lady needs somebody who can be with her in person. And she agreed to the help. And so yesterday she was able to go and meet the guys running that crisis pregnancy thing so that they can guide her because she really needs more help. And I'm so grateful for this soul in the kingdom of God. And I just request you to pray for her because, you know, these kind of things don't just disappear once, you know. She's by herself. Her parents don't know. Her family don't know yet what happened to her. So she was still not decided of how she will tell her parents because apparently they are Christians and probably born again, but she wasn't. But now she needs to tell them what has happened. So please pray for her. Her name is Fanny's. Her name is Fanny's and she is a nurse. I just encourage her. Jesus is going to be together with you. And I'm so happy we've been communicating like every day since Sunday. And it's like she's getting healed from the messages she's sending me. She's getting healed from what she had thought or decided to do. And I know God will help her through the Christian group that have connected her. They are Christians. They are born again, this group. They help young girls. Because back home in Africa, there are so many early pregnancies. Some are teenagers, you know, just as young as 13 or 16. So there are so many such people who go through such terrible experiences and they have to be guided to accept what has happened and move on. But more above all, for those who don't know Christ, through such situations, they come to know Christ and to receive. So I'm grateful for God because I don't know if life went so smoothly for her. I don't know if she will ever have come to a point to say yes to Jesus. So that's the greatest miracle. And I told her the greatest miracle of all is that you've given your life to Jesus. So pray every day, read the Bible, and at least she's aware of these things. She wasn't doing them, but she's aware, and it's easy for her to do them. Thank you so much.
My name's Tim. I have a personal prayer request I'd like to share later, but right now I'd like to ask Hiroshi Fuji, could you please come up to the front? I'm really anticipating this for a long time, and Some of you know he's announced it before that today is Hiroshi's final day here at Mitaki. Hiroshi has a very long, long history here. I'm sure Jim will tell you later, maybe if he shares, that Hiroshi is the person who introduced you, right, Jim? Introduced Jim Ronald to Mitaki 30 years ago. So a very long time of friendship and encouragement for Jim and for Fernando also. Fernando has known Hiroshi a long time. I've known Hiroshi maybe 2 or 3 years now, only a few years, but he's been a tremendous encouragement to me. I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, I got a job working for a wedding company that sends me out to different places to do weddings on weekends. And I was really worried because they have these really long scripts you're supposed to remember and different kinds of scripts. And I was so worried. I was trying to review this stuff. And I just came to Hiroshi and said, Hiroshi, you got to help me. You got to help me. And he did. He really helped me a lot, helped me go through the script. It's a Japanese script. Go through it carefully, make sure I said it correctly. And here just, I don't know, was it a few months ago, again, he helped me with another different kind of script. Our company is applying to get a job with another wedding chapel. And so it's a different kind of script completely. And he helped me that morning. He called me and I said, Hiroshi, I need some help. A couple hours, I've got it. This they're going to videotape me on this debut presentation for a presentation to a wedding chapel to get the job. And so Hiroshi said, sure, where do you want to meet? So we met at the chapel, and he helped me go through it at a local coffee shop. He went and he watched me when they were videotaping, even gave me a few pointers. So he said, and not only in my job, in many other personal ways, he and I have met at Starbucks a number of times, had long cups of coffee, talking over coffee with each other, and we text back and forth quite a bit. So I'm going to be really sad and lonely that he's leaving, but he's got a story to tell. I don't know if you want to share your story or what this is all about, maybe a little bit more in detail. He's moving to Hamamatsu, and I shouldn't say too much. I should let you share what your whole story. And then if I know Pastor Chris, we usually have a time of prayer, so I don't want to usurp the pastor's job, but I'd like to be a part of that. So please share with us as much as you feel comfortable about what's happening.
Well, I really want to appreciate you all. And what I really enjoyed with talking with you and praise God with you all, and I really miss you. But I'm very happy that because I have a fiance to get married, and she lives in Shizuoka, Hamamatsu. And so I moved to Hamamatsu in January 31st. And so we have a new life together, and so we work on together for the glory of God. And so please pray for us. And I just want to appreciate you, and I really want to thank you for your prayers for me. Thank you. Excuse me, could you take pictures for me?
I'll take the selfie.
Okay.
I have a long arm, so it's...
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father God, we're so thankful that you refine us as gold, the furnace for silver, Yes, Lord. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart of every man. You discipline those whom you love. We count it all joy that you allow us to receive tests of all kinds in order to sanctify us, purify us, to prepare us for your place that you're that you have for us. And Lord, knowing Hiroshi and all that you have brought him through, the flood, the fire, the earthquakes, the storms, and you have pushed him through, and he has come out as silver without dross. He's come out as pure gold. And Lord, he's coming to the close of his life here in Hiroshima, and now moving on to a life away from us here. But Lord, we're thankful that he is moving forward in his life, and that you will allow him, Lord, to take the next step, not backwards, not downwards, but upwards and onwards to whatever you have for him. We're thankful, we're grateful that you do this for those whom you love, and that you are working all things out for him, because you love him and call him according to your purpose. For all the lives that he's touched while he has been here, everyone from Jim, even unto me, we're thankful, Lord, that we know him and that we have been having the privilege of his friendship and companionship. But Lord, as he goes from here, we ask that you would lay your hand upon him. Father, your hand of wisdom, your hand of guidance, your hand of peace, Lord, your hand of hope, and Lord, your hand of love, that you would, Lord, allow him to know you all the more in this new place that you'll have for him. Lord, we thank you so much for him, and we trust you better in your hands than in ours. So we present him to you, and Lord, we trust that you'll be with him. We pray for all the details, all the things that involved in packing and moving and paperwork and travel. We trust that you are in all those things and allowing him to move smoothly as possible. And for these things, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.
So I'd like to share a personal request of ask prayer before for our son, Micah. Some of you who are new here the first time. Our son, this goes back a number of years. His life kind of got off track, and there were a lot of problems. And right now he's in a situation, I guess in Japanese they would call it hikikomori, where he stays inside. He doesn't go out of the house. He stays in only two or three rooms of the house, and he's 25 years old. I was talking to Art about this just earlier today before the service, and Art and Darcy both have been a tremendous encouragement. We really appreciate their prayers and all of your prayers for our son. We know that there are things that my wife and I need to be really unified in heart to do, to some things we need to, some action we need to take, some things we need to say to him to help him to realize that his life just can't go on this way, the way it's been going. It's not just that he's staying at home, kind of a recluse life. He also has episodes, periodic episodes of violence. I don't want to go into all the details here, but this has been a big concern. There was an episode that happened just yesterday. And so we really appreciate your prayers for us as we take a united stand to deal with our situation with our son in love, but in faith that God will lead us in what we should do and say from this point forward. So please pray for our son, Micah. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Art. We've been praying a lot for Micah, and just ask for prayers for wisdom for both Toshie and Tim, myself, and Hiroshi-san. I've been giving them some advice, and I've realized I should probably ask the PhD psychiatrist or psychologist about it, too. So, yeah, we want to encourage Micah to be independent. We want to encourage him to stop being babied at home. There's things that he won't do. He won't scoop his own rice. He says he can't put his pants on, and those things are false. And so we want to stop treating him as if he's disabled. And we want him to have a decision to move out of the house on his own. But if there's episodes of violence, we're going to have to ask him to move out of the house, and then he'll have to be homeless or come live with us. So please pray that Micah would have the resolve to make the decision for himself to move out of the house. I would rather see Micah say, yes, it's time for me to go, I want to move out of the house, rather than to have an episode and be asked to leave the house. So I also need to, please just pray for wisdom for Pastor Horikawa and myself to really set this situation up in the correct way so that there's not as much resentment as there could be towards both the parents and to us as people trying to intervene. And so, we're praying for hope for Micah, that he could see some hope for the future. He would have courage when the time to move out is. And also, he's waiting for a hospital bed at a psychiatric hospital. And if they called this week, and he said, my heart's not ready to go yet. So please pray that a bed would open up, and when it does open up, that he'd have the courage to go and stay there, because that would be a great intermediate step between him coming to live with us full-time and leaving the house. So, worst case scenario, he throws a tantrum and he comes and lives with us, and that'll be hard. And I was kind of thinking about that through the worship and kind of worrying about it, and then thinking, that's not my worry, that's God's worry. So just pray for wisdom and for hope for Micah. Thanks.